You're tuning in to AfterBuzz TV's The Christmas 24/7 Channel, keeping the spirit of Christmas 24/7. Give, forgive, be merry.
What would happen if we all tried to be like Santa and learned to give as only he can give of ourselves, our talents, our love, and our hearts? Maybe if we could all learn Santa's beautiful lesson, maybe there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been 9 months, but we're back. Kevin, of course, we do have someone new joining. Kelsey Myers, say hello to the eager fans.
Oh, hi, everyone. I've been hearing so much about this show, and I am just so thrilled to be a part of it.
So Kelsey is on Maria's Daily Show, Better Together, with you, Jeff.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think this this hopefully will go well. Kelsey, are you a fan of Christmas? I didn't even...
Kevin, I'm a huge fan of Christmas. My roommate and I actually have a Christmas tree that stays up all year in our apartment, and we actually call it the holiday tree. So we decorate it for each holiday. Right. It's really lovely. So
that's right. And when we first met, when we first met, I said, we need to do a show. You need to come on our whatever Christmas show we have. And we have a lot of other Christmas friends. We've Erin, who did it with us, is in Connecticut. She would like to be, participate. I have some other friends who are prolific in the Hallmark and Lifetime movie community that will be joining us. I think it's very exciting. It's a very exciting time. Jeff, I'm being very facetious about that part. This is an interesting the COVID Christmas. I'm having a difficult time.
I know, Kev.
Jeff, I need your help here.
Well, that's what part of today's show is about, y'all, is the overall theme being, can we do it? Can we save this year with Christmas? And I want to be optimistic, Kev, because everything you just said is true. We do have friends at Hallmark and Lifetime, and we do have an amazing show. And I think the ultimate question we'll answer after today's episode is, can we do it?
Can Christmas save? If there was ever a time where we... No, don't laugh, Kelsey. If there was ever a time we needed Christmas, it's now.
It's true.
It's now. I think to bring us together as a country, Christmas is literally the last hope for the year. It's the last hope. The last and greatest hope.
Yeah. Kev, you had a moment the other week in Lowe's with the Christmas decorations, and I could feel how happy you were through the FaceTime.
Yeah, it was very, Lowe's was the first to strike. We always cover here on the show.
Much so that I feel like we should save it.
Okay.
We're a segmented show. We have our store decoration coming up. So all of you on the edge of your seat, we'll get there. We don't want to rush
this. So sorry.
It's okay, Kelsey. I know you're new to the ship. It's exciting. I know you're new, Kelsey, but we save that for later in the show. It's very important. So, we're just so excited to be here. And we know it's a strange year, you guys. We know it's been hard. But, but this is the show that's going to save us all.
I've been, because of COVID, the businesses I work on have been grounded. So I've been... renovations around my properties that I've just let go for over a decade. I've jumped back in and said, okay, well, it's time to fix them. So I've just been so busy. And the one thing I'm looking forward to is I'm hoping I'll be done with the most of the heavy and dirty work by Thanksgiving. So I personally never looked more forward to, at least to that part. But Jeff, you have to... I don't know, I'm probably getting... I don't want to mess up your format, so maybe you take it from there.
That's Jeff is
because I know we're gonna talk about a lot of this stuff.
We are. In fact, our first topic for today's show is how COVID has affected your holiday outlook. So, kind of what you're talking about, Kev. How are you viewing this year amidst the chaos and cloudiness of what we've done
versus
already?
Previous years, right?
Yeah, and versus previous years.
I mean, Christmas to me was building, the last decade, I feel like, I don't know, maybe because life was just, this pressure cooker was building. Mm. And I feel like what was going on in our world was just a long time overdue. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
And no matter, we're all, of course, reacting to it in different ways. Politics, both sides are reacting in different ways. But the bottom line, it was all going to happen. The health side, the BLM side, it was just inevitable. And I think Christmas was coming earlier and earlier because I think we wanted to escape more and more. So that's why 6 months of Christmas, I was just always like, you know what, August, let's get this thing going. Christmas starts in August, you know. And then we know Christmas in July, and then we know about Leon Day in July 25th.
Oh, that's right.
But this year, for me personally, it has been a blank because I've been so focused on, you know, plugging holes, fixing things, maintaining, you know, trying my best to avoid the news because the news just has made me so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, I haven't thought much. It's not been on my mind, and even the idea of it makes me a little sad. But now that we're doing this, I'm thinking maybe, you know, that this will give us a little bit of hope. So for me, it's been more prolonged. That years past prolonged, the season was prolonged. This year, the thinking or celebrating Christmas, I don't know. It's just in the holidays, not. On my mind wasn't the same, seeing the Halloween decorations go up, all that stuff normally gets me excited. And I was like, oh.
See, Kev, yeah. I have a different take.
All right, I want to hear it, please, Kev.
I feel that this year, Christmas is going to be the thing that gets us through. It's the light at the end of the tunnel. Because really, this year's been very hard, but what are the things we can hold on to? Family, Christmas movies, cooking, food, decorations. These are all things that we can still do. So to me, it's the only thing I'm holding on to this year because there's not much to hold on to.
Yeah. Well, okay. So speaking of that, are you able to go to parties and stuff not parties, but social gatherings? I think, Jeff, you got to keep your headphones in because we'll hear the echo on the mic. But can you, are you thinking about that?
I think with parties, and Kels, I'll have you weigh in here too. I think it's going to be family because I think that's all, at least for Laura and I, you know, my wife, that's all we're going to have because we won't really be branching out. So I think, but I'm very close to my family. I'm lucky there. And I know that's not true for all of our listeners, but that's where I'm at. And I think I'm going to have a great opportunity with them, especially because it looking like I'm going to go home a little earlier this year to have that happen.
Kelsey, what about you?
I'm excited, actually. I feel like this year, like Jeff said, Christmas is kind of going to save us all. And it's an overall, like, you can't be mad at Christmas. You can't be sad on Christmas. You have, like,
I hope the spirit of giving and forgiveness and all those elements will conjure in people.
That's what I hope too. I know. And I think that a lot of people have spent more time with their families ever in the past year than they have their whole lives, right? But I think that people are really starting to, at least I'm hoping, like, learn more about their families and, like, different people that, I don't know, Christmas, I think, is just going to be different this year, but I think different in a good way. I'm excited. And I don't know. I mean, I think Maria mentioned this the other day that you guys don't do gifts, that was her rule. And I was like, I kind of like that. I feel like this year is going to be like, you know what? Your gift is I'm coming home. We're going to spend time together. I don't know. I'm personally excited for Christmas this year.
We'll do whatever's fun, whatever you enjoy. You know, right? If you enjoy just going home and that's your gift, then fine. But if you like to shop and buy things, then do that too.
I like it, giving gifts. But I don't know, Kev. I think that you're going to be surprised by how great Christmas is going to be this year, especially for you guys. Well, like, hopefully you're all going to be here in Connecticut.
Well, I don't know what coast we'll be on, but what's sad for me is, you know, you guys get older. You'll see when you get older. And for us who don't have children, when you get older, you get so busy with your lives and you're going to see your friends less and less.
Right.
So there's a couple of people at a couple of key Christmas parties that I see every year. And there's some of my best friends in LA. And time goes by so fast that it feels like it's only a few months that we haven't seen each other. But in reality, it's Christmas, and I look forward so much. Adam Carolla has an amazing, very small Christmas gathering. We love it. Marie and I go, and some of our best friends are there. And then, you know, there's some other people Christmas Eve, that big names, celebrities, but they're our friends, and that's when we see them. And then there's other Christmas parties that other friends throw. And then Marie even throws her cocktails and cupcakes. You've been, Jeff. And this is the only time we see our friends, because life just gets so busy. And so we look forward to those things. I don't know if any of those things happen for us this year. So it makes me a little sad. I mean, I know Maria was mentioning there's some people in hardship in Connecticut. You know, Maria walks with the neighbors, and there's people in their community that are really on hard times because of COVID. And I would say to go help them would be so much fun.
Yeah.
To be able to go, like, that would make Christmas for me. So I think maybe if I'm there and I find that, or if I'm out here and I find it, I don't want to be down because it's our show, guys. Like, and Christmas is the greatest. And by the way, you know, honestly, like, I mean it. If there was one thing to save this year, it's Christmas. Well, I mean, it's almost like a movie, you know, when you think about it. If there's one thing, it's not going to be the election, because one side's going to be pissed no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. It's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, you mean to say there could be a shaky reaction to this year's election? I don't know.
Oh, no. Everyone's going to be thrilled.
It's going to be great. It'll be fine.
It's going to be fine. Kev, you said something that I really liked, though, that I think it's sad that the parties and those sort of things are not going to be able to happen.
I mean, they may not happen. I don't know.
May not. But what I think that you said that I really loved is maybe we can use that time to do things that, like, I've always wanted to go volunteer, you know, and never really done it. Or so I don't know. I actually really like that idea, and you kind of instilled.
Can I make a recommendation to people?
Please.
I think a lot of people go out and volunteer.
Yeah.
It's kind of the standard thing to do. Now, I'm not saying not to. Okay. I'm just saying that that's kind of the time that I know a lot of people, Thanksgiving, Christmas, they go out and they volunteer. I think that's wonderful. I would instead like to challenge you to find, to go more to the microtransactions.
Mm.
Is there a family that, you know, you could literally deliver a whole Christmas to?
Yeah.
I remember back in the Carney days when I worked at the Carnival, we had these couple of guys, their names were actually Popcorn and Clyde.
No way.
Yeah. And they lived in a truck, and we found out that they were Thanksgiving, and they're like, you know, the Carney mentality is interesting because you work on everyone else's off day, Saturdays, Sundays, holidays. So to you, there's no holidays. Every day is the same. And when we found out it was their Thanksgiving, and they were just going to sleep in their truck. Like, and we were like, so we all got together and made different dishes and brought them like this ridiculous like thing.
Aww.
But I feel like I challenge everyone to get involved with those microtransactions with people. You know, if soup kitchens are empty and don't have helpers, then get down there and help 100%. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of people do that. And I think there's a lot of, with individually what you could do for a person, a family.
I agree.
Individually. And sometimes, like, I know there's an old Simpsons joke about how the middle class, lower middle class is forgotten.
Yeah.
It's like the really impoverished is kind of cared for. And then of course the wealthy and elite don't need anything. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people, you know, that have families, you know, that maybe live in an apartment or in the projects, and they're really struggling to make ends meet, that, you know, they're like, Christmas could be brightened. You know, I feel like seeking out those people, and you, all of us of education and means, you know, there's things we could do for them.
Oof, and, I love that.
You know,
even if it's going for walks, you know, even if
anything, organizing their house, like cleaning for them, like, you know, like, there's just, you know, there's always something.
Bringing them food, whatever it is.
I mean, I love that. I think it leads pretty beautifully into our second segment, which is how this year have we already spread Christmas cheer? And Kev, I want to piggyback off what you just said about microtransactions and helping individual families. So my parents, Randy and Laurie Graham, they and I'm we're figuring out the COVID tech, so I am going to just for when I talk, pop my headphones off. It'll just help me as I recount this story because I'm hearing myself echo.
Plug it, Jeff, because I think your echo's going through the...
Oh, is it? Let me put this here then, because I need to be able to hear Kels. But this is pretty incredible. So this Ghanaian family, they're refugees from Ghana. No, actually, I'm sorry, they're from the Congo. So, you know, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, very war-torn country. They were refugees. They escaped to Ghana, but eventually made their way to America about 15 years ago. This is the Mika family. Had nothing. Completely just came to this country, doe-eyed immigrants with two young boys. My parents met them through our church, and we're like, you know, let's kind of make them our mission. Like, let's see what we can do. So, like, the Mika family now, both kids have gone through high school. Both kids are now in college. One's a nursing student.
Of course. Yeah,
like, very, you know, practical, amazing jobs. And what's really cool is that family has now become the go-to light in Cleveland for other Congolese refugees that come.
Wow.
So there's this whole network of refugees from the Congo that my parents are now kind of meeting.
Oh,
I know, the Grams.
But scams.
The scams, I know, they're scamming. But what's really cool about this is that family wouldn't, none of that would have happened if my parents hadn't seen that family first. So it's that pay it forward thing, right?
That microtransaction.
So rather than, I agree, Kev, if you can invest in one family and really create that personal connection, I think that's where you can make those changes.
And now may I offer, now let me bring in some politics because I know that's a very important part of our show.
Absolutely, yes. We've always been a political show.
Let me tell you why, if you're on the left or the right, you really need to take a look at yourself and them.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at this immigrant family that comes in, right? They contribute. The daughter's a nurse. I bet you the son will be a teacher or something else. Usually they usually say with first generation, it's in the health professions, and then maybe the second or third becomes more entrepreneurial. But look at them giving back. So if you're on the right, you think closing the door to immigrants is the way to go. That's just an example of, you know, how ignorant you are.
Right.
And because that's what built our entire country. And I get it has to be done legally and all that, but, you know, people, I feel like, are taking it further. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. And again, that's how we got here. Now I flip it over to the other side of people who are burning flags and hating on this country and all this. It's like, I would love those people. I'm sure they would have a very nice conversation about what their country is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everyone with their Xboxes here and their iPhones and, you know, whatever. And you know, rather than fill our potholes and fix things, you know, to tear it all down. So I think it's a testament to the ridiculousness of both sides. But more than anything, what a beautiful story. And that's it. That's those microtransactions. And like you said, Jeff, like they're now the beacon for all these other people. And it's just all the lives you can touch.
Pretty cool. Kels, I'd love to hear what you're doing this year to spread some COVID cheer if you've been able to.
Ooh, what am I doing, Jeff? I feel like, as lame as it is, let me think on this.
I can talk.
I was just going to say keeping positive as I can. I think that I'm very good at connecting with people who I know need some light and some positivity. And I've been, throughout this whole COVID craziness, been actively trying to, in the like little time I have, whether it's call my friend or call my sister or my mom or whatever it is, and like just ask how they're doing. And I don't know, that sounds lame, but I feel like I've been actively trying to do that and make sure that others are okay and
Kelsey.
Check in.
Kelsey. Oh, my dear.
What?
Let me tell you what you've been doing.
Okay.
Tell everyone what you've been doing.
Okay.
So obviously on Instagram and on TV, Maria's life looks incredible. And no doubt she's been very blessed in so many ways, incredibly blessed. And I always say Maria did something right in her past lives. At the same time, you know, it's still a young woman who has dealt with a lot of toxicity in the workplace, in a man's business. You all know or are learning what Hollywood's really like, Me Too and everything else. And then, she's been financially taking care of her parents since she was 21. That burden falls on her. Mm-hmm. Their health falls on her. The dad's been a 50-year diabetic and has been pronounced dead like 9 or 10 times. And Maria has to stay on every aspect of that. And then even as a kid, she was the only one who spoke the language. So everything fell on her. She always had to be the leader, make the decisions, have all that pressure. And now we have mom with stage 4 cancer that continues to worsen. She's here, but cognitively, great challenges. Yeah. And if you have anyone with Alzheimer's in your family, you understand how my heart goes out to you, the challenges. We're not there yet, but we have many, many issues. And it all falls on Maria. And then on top of it, she has a brain tumor of her own.
Yeah.
And when you have a millennial or Gen Z workforce that's just not equipped like our work, they were not trained like our generation was, and the generation, even we weren't trained like generation above us. We weren't as good as the other generation either. And it's our fault that we're in the situation we're in, for sure. But you don't really have, millennials don't have to take care of themselves. And then you put them in a position to say, you're going to be an assistant now or whatever, and, or any support position. Mm-hmm. And they don't know, and everything's a trigger, and everything's a trauma, and everything, you know, and it's just, and they just don't know how to, most of them just don't know how to do things. Yeah. And then along comes Kelsey. And Kelsey, so when I set all that up, Kelsey, you have, you've reawakened Maria, the creativity in her, you've reawakened the inner child in her. She once again sees possibility. She sees the magic of life. And you know, you've been, I call you my Viking. But you literally, it's been like, we talk about it, like we joke, obviously everyone's a joke, but I'm like Maria's wife, Kelsey. But you have been, such a beacon of hope, strength, aww, light, it's really made such a difference in Maria's life, which of course makes a difference in my life, Jeff's life, everyone's life, you know, but It really has. And, you know, and I believe so much in Maria, and I believe so much in her talent. And I want to see her get everything out of this that she's supposed to get. And if she wants to walk away, then because she's over it or bored, I get it. But I never wanted her to walk away because she was beaten.
Yeah.
And now that she's with someone of like mind, and you too, Jeff, but Kelsey, you're there living with her. It's just changing everything. And I see that that Supergirl is reemerging, you know, every day, you know, and but that's you, Kelsey. So I know in your microtransactions, you're good to everybody. I know you're a great daughter, a great sister, and a great friend. But I will tell you, you just, the impact you've made on Maria, which who Maria's whole mission is to help people. Yeah. So think of you're helping Maria, and then she's getting now the strength and inspiration to go help others. And that's because of you.
That's
really something for all of us and her fans in the world. And I tell you, I just know Maria, and I know how much she can impact the world. And the fact that you're helping her regain her strength to do that, you're on the right side of karma, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, it's wild to think about, because it was just like, as much as she and you guys needed me, I needed you guys. You know, it's wild how this all happened and how we came into each other's lives. And I'm just so, so grateful for it. So
literally the last AfterBuzz, I don't want to jump to you.
I was just going to say when we were talking about how we're going to spend Christmas earlier and just all the parties and stuff, I was going to say that it's wild. I feel like I'm getting to spend it with like a new family with you guys, and then get to see my actual family. But you guys are my actual family. So it's a really cool year for me. And I feel like I'd never, the past couple, I haven't even been able to really spend Christmas like and actually celebrate it. And because I didn't get a chance to, I wasn't able to. So this year's really special in that way too.
we were our very, you know, AfterBuzz went on broadcast hiatus because of COVID, and our very last orientation that was here, that's when I met Kelsey. She was the very last person to come in the door. Like, it's unbelievable. Yeah. In our 10 years. And I'd say we're probably $4 million deep into this network. So I called Kelsey the $4 million woman. You know, I'm like, so it was a bargain. But yeah, it took all the way to the end to get you, Kels. So yeah, it's been great. So that's been a great thing for us, you know?
Well, I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. And and for me, you know, it's been for my microtransactions, taking Litsa to my mother-in-law to chemo. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge because she's cognitively impaired and physically impaired. So it's a battle every time. And then with COVID, all the protocols, and it's every week I have to say, she doesn't really know where to go, what I have to be with her. And every week it's a fight. It's, you're not here, you're not this, you're not tested, you know, it's a challenge. And, but I have seen a lot of other families that we've bonded with, and it's cool because all different, backgrounds, orientations, financial backgrounds even, but we all, when COVID started, we all agreed we'd pray for each other every week. And everyone's stage four. That's the crazy thing.
Wow.
And I'm like, knock on wood, happy to report everyone's still here.
Wow.
So we would kind of all like, listen, let's all get our families through this together.
Oh, that gives me chills.
Getting them in and out, and so we text, and like I said, but it's wonderful because as the whole world seems like it's dividing and hating one another, which I don't believe. I believe you're seeing it in the media, you know, but I don't, because that's quote good TV. I think in the real world, you know, we're better than that. And I see it at the hospital because like I said, everybody is so different from all the patients, and a very diverse group. And we are just everyone's there trying to help each other. And so I guess that's kind of been my part up till now.
I love it. I know I already shared about my parents, but I do have one quick Christmas cheer story that I feel like I have to share. So leaving Ralph's a couple weeks ago, actually, this was about a month ago now, there was a man and his son standing outside passing out GoFundMe little slips to go help, or even what they were saying, which I appreciate, is you don't need to donate, just post on your socials to let people know his mom and my wife just died of COVID. And we were in a really tough position. And I just talked to him. I said, I'm so sorry, man. Like, what happened? I just, you know, I could tell that what he wanted at that point was someone to talk to.
And also you could tell he was genuine. It's really hard, you guys, in LA, because unfortunately we have a long history of scammers that do this. So you could tell he was genuine.
And I said, listen, man, I'm just so, so sorry. And he just started crying.
Oh, no. So he was genuine. Oh my God. Oh.
And I was like, man,
Jeff,
like,
that's when you got to call me and go, okay, come down here with the checkbook.
I know.
Like, I know. I can't believe you were told to do this.
Yeah.
Because if it's someone who's honest, you know, it's just like I said, in LA, you get cynical because you have so many people who are like, they come here because of the sun and they don't have to get a house. They can live, you know, and they can, you know, unfortunately.
You don't believe anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get cynical. Wow.
And he was, you know, he's kind of a tough guy. I could tell, like, he was sort of tatted up, but he just immediately was like, you know, she was the love of my life. And he was saying, like, I feel so bad. I feel like right before she got sick, we had this argument that, like, and I was like, listen, man, your life with her is so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than one argument. We've all had.
Yeah.
And he was like, thank you so much for saying that. I needed to hear that. And
yes.
Just like, and we talked for about an hour. And, you know, I just feel like he hadn't talked to anyone.
How old was he, Jeff?
Probably 42.
Young.
Yeah. Wow. They were young. I mean, his kid was probably 10.
Do you think being homeless? Like, that they.
He said they have they had a one bedroom, like a really small apartment somewhere in the valley. But yeah, he was like, you know, she had asthma. But what it made me realize was he was like, thank you so much for just talking to me. I just needed someone to talk to about this. And, you know, I haven't been able to cry about this yet. And I know it's kind of a sad story, but what it showed me is that, like, sometimes all people need
is to talk.
Is to talk.
I have
someone to listen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a very talkative person, so I feel like, I know for me personally, that's really helpful. So just if you see someone who's hurting, sometimes they don't need money, sometimes they don't need food, sometimes they just need an ear, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I have this, I have to work on it. I just have so many charges up against, maybe because I've been jumped and I've had to deal with, I don't know, it's hard for me with, because I don't trust any of those, usually the people in front of those places.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Wow, good for you for doing that.
That's amazing,
you know?
Jeff.
Well, I kind of feel like I needed it too. You know, sometimes those conversations are so, and it was actually what it was. It was so nice to just have such a human connection with someone, you know, with a stranger, because I feel like with strangers
especially
with
right
social
now.
Distance, exactly, with social distancing and everything, there's so much hesitancy and skittishness with other people, just other people. And this was just such a beautiful human conversation I had. So never be afraid to just ask questions. And if people don't want to engage, they won't. But if they need an ear or they need someone's heart, they'll open up.
Totally.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, our next topic. Very exciting.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to do some COVID holiday predictions. So we're going to talk Halloween predictions, Thanksgiving predictions, Christmas predictions. If we may, I would love to start with Halloween.
Maybe we just keep it at Halloween, Jeff.
We'll say pretty. You're so right, Kev. Great producing.
I love Halloween.
I'm going to start with a pretty fun Halloween idea / prediction that I got to credit my parents-in-law, Bill and Nancy Palmer.
Yes.
They already built a candy chute.
I love Bill and Nancy Palmer. So, by the way, can I preface why I love them? So you'll find out, Kelsey.
Yes.
So the father, everyone, he prints up T-shirts for the whole family on Christmas. On Black Friday.
Black Friday.
And everyone, the team goes out.
No.
Go ahead, Jeff, take it from there.
5 a.m. They get up.
Stop.
Yep. And they're like a sleep-in family. Like picture like just the most idyllic, wonderful Midwestern family. They love their slow mornings with coffee. But on Black Friday, Bill rings a bell.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. And they all get up. And at this point, the kids are 32,
29.
Doesn't matter. They better fall in.
That's incredible.
Fall in. 2020 Palmer Black Friday.
No.
And they go.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. My God.
Yeah, and they still Bill Palmer is like basically Bill Murray from any of those movies.
And so wait, how long does it go? Like how, right? Does it goes right
into the afternoon? Yeah, at least 4 or 5 p.m.
That is.
And then is there dinner afterwards? Like, what do we do? Is
I think they're usually pretty cashed out. I think it's like turn on a movie.
I love it.
Oh my gosh! Volunteer anyway. Me to join that family because
That's Jeff's father-in-law. All right, so tell me what they're doing for Halloween, Jeff.
Okay, so. The candy chute, brilliant idea. Because Bill gets very into Halloween, decorates the whole yard, skeletons.
Oh my God.
So this year they have a 6-foot little slide that they're going to send candy through so they could be socially distanced, but still give the candy to the trick or treaters.
Oh my God.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's already built.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do we think there will be trick or treating?
I think it will depend on the state.
I think it's a state thing. Because what really super intelligent people have told me is certain states don't get COVID. But then other states apparently do.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how that's worked. Yeah, like apparently New Hampshire, which most people from Massachusetts, a lot of people live on the New Hampshire line. New Hampshire's not a compromised state, so no one has to wear masks in New Hampshire and they all get to like go to bars and whatever. But then in other states, so I think those states are just gonna go live their best lives. Outdoors.
Yeah.
It's outdoors. You put on a mask, and if the candy's wrapped in a wrapper, you know, literally I would think you take a sanitizer to each wrapper. You know, if you're a parent, and I think you're good to go.
Oh yeah.
I'm not a parent, so I don't know, but it seems like that.
Yeah.
Did you say something about like fishing poles or sticks? Like, were you the one telling me that? Like, what people you had read people were gonna?
I had seen like those clamps you can pass.
Oh, what happened?
Kels, have you seen that?
Like the little claws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, at Wendy's the other day, that's how they gave me my food.
Oh, no, nice!
Through the drive-thru.
So I got to go through the drive-thru with Jeff at Taco Bell the other day.
Yes.
Oh, how exciting!
Yeah, it was really cool. It was nice.
I think when we talk about, the kids in certain areas are going to be compromised. I think we should probably have some parents call in next week.
Yeah.
But to tell us how they're handling it. I think it'll be super controlled in certain places, or private. Maybe it's private get-togethers. But again, trick-or-treating was getting to be, because of everything, wasn't it kind of, weren't we getting away from neighborhood trick-or-treating for safety issues anyway, or no? Or is that still big in other communities? I know in LA it's not really.
Oh my gosh, in LA it's always crazy.
No, down no, for, in... yeah, for adults, because here no one wants to, it's all the children who are like 50 come out here. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Every like vain holiday, like Christmas, empty, a day of giving, empty, Thanksgiving, a day of thanks, empty. But oh boy, the Oscars, the Valentine's Day and Halloween. Oh yeah, all the stuff that's all about me. Oh yeah, look at my outfit.
So true.
We but I mean, did I've, Valentine's at this restaurant. It was amazing.
Amazing. I feel
yeah,
like
no, so that's a different scam. We'll get to that though. I know it's a different, but we haven't talked to the adults. I'm talking about the kids.
No, I feel like kids trick or treat in LA. Like the past couple of years I've seen, well, okay, here's my example. Last year on Halloween, I was at my boxing gym which was at Century City. And kids came and trick-or-treated at Century City Mall. Like, what is, can you get more LA than that?
That's so LA.
I know.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Now, how will it affect the adult Halloween?
I know. That's going to be, I think people will
still. This is when all the pimps and hoes come out.
I know.
But they're not, yeah, but I don't know if everyone's going to be able to dress like their best pimp or best hoe this Halloween.
I think they still will.
Right?
That's what I think. I think they were going to make their...
LA will be outdoor, right? Outdoor exactly. Bars, socially distanced. So exactly. Maybe LA will have a good one.
Well, the problem is the pimps and hoes have gained a lot of weight in quarantine this year. I don't know if people are super excited to show off their Halloween buds.
Yeah, maybe they won't be pimps and hoes.
And the real tragedy is that Halloween's on a Saturday this year. So.
Oh, yeah, that's...
What a waste.
Yeah, my God.
Because we're wasting a good weekend. Oh, wow.
That's the sweet spot. I think Friday or Saturday night for Halloween is perfect. Because, you know, it gets a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
When you have the weekend before and then totally. Halloween's like on a Wednesday. It's like, yeah.
I know. Wait, that Tuesday. Just made me kind of sad.
Yeah, it's sad. Skipping ahead, can someone Google and find out when our Christmas is? I always say the best Christmas is on a Wednesday.
Let's
because
see.
Now you've got your the week before Christmas, you're done.
And it's on a Friday.
Ooh, that's tough.
Why? I feel like that's a good one.
No, honey. Why? Let me explain how it works.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not good. Saturday and Sunday, even worse. Because when you have it on a Wednesday, that the previous Monday and Tuesday is dead. Like, what are you really going to do? So now you've got that Monday and Tuesday and the Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Now fast forward to next Wednesday, New Year's Eve. You're really going to go to work after New Year's Day. You're really going to go to work Thursday, Friday. If you are, like, come on. Who's doing anything?
Right.
So you're talking like 2 full weeks of like nothing. But when you get into these Fridays, Friday's okay because you'll get Thursday and Friday, but Saturday is and Sunday's the worst. Because now you get all the Mr. Scrooges can say to you, you're working till Friday. Then Saturday you have Christmas Eve, Sunday Christmas, and you'll be right back to work on Tuesday. And then, you're right back on Tuesday to work. And then you've got to work Tuesday to whatever, to Friday. And Saturday, that's the worst. That's when the Mr. Scrooges win.
Ugh.
And we lose, yes.
Yeah, that's gross. I didn't think about that. I'm so used to, we always had to work no matter what day. I mean, ever since I was in LA, it was like, worked up. Like,
well, she was, the person who ran that was particularly mean about that because we did work those days, and will tell you, we catered. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Kelsey,
know that.
We always brought food in for everybody.
Oh, of course you guys did.
It was like, it just was disheartening because nothing was getting done. There was no news really out there.
Nope.
And it was just a means of and the person who ran it had a big giant smile and really just enjoyed doing that to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unnecessary. Now, I still am practical and I know with success, you've got to work hard. You've got to sacrifice. So if Maria had real work, then no question, you know, New Year's Eve, whatever. Like if it was a movie shoot and they had a shoot, like we got to get it in the can because I don't know, some big stars committed to another project if you'd all in, but
totally.
It was over there. Wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't necessary at all. Like, you know, in fact, you could do, if you have breaking news coming up, you keep the most micro of crews and you rotate them,
mm-hmm.
you know, you rotate them every year, it'll be your year. And then you make it really special. So you make it fun.
Yeah.
So the people like are going to work that day and they're like, oh, well, you know what? We're laid back. We could be a little goofy, kind of have a little eggnog, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it was not.
Little nog. Did I ever tell you guys what happened to me last year on Christmas? That was like the biggest ultimate universe smack in the face.
What?
I have to hijack really quick and tell you.
You have to tell
crazy.
Our six, we have six fans who are dying to know.
Oh, are you guys ready for this? So
yes,
I had been wanting to, like my time was coming to an end at this place, right? And mm-hmm. I just hadn't pulled the trigger and I was just thinking about it. So we always, like we just said, had to work up until at least Christmas Eve or work on Christmas. And this year, this last year, they waited until like 3 days before to tell us that we're going black all that week. They're not
which was financial. Yeah, which was financial. It wasn't,
exactly.
It wasn't a nice thing. It was, this is how we can save money on the budget.
Yep. They all still get paid. None of us did. And then all of us who knew that we were probably going to work up until Christmas Eve booked our flights for that and couldn't change them, right? So we were screwed on money, couldn't go home and actually spend the days. So it was Christmas Eve and I was driving to the airport and I was so mad, but I was like, okay, whatever, over it by then. Driving to the airport, some lady doesn't yield on a left-hand turn. Oh, no, it's even better. I was actually driving to my boss's house to bring her something on a day off that I wasn't getting paid. And I was like, no, this is out of the nature of my heart, right? I'm like, mm-hmm. I got to bring her this thing. Driving to her house, car cuts me off, totals my car. On the way to the airport, I don't even know how. Some guy helped me tow my car to a place. I ended up getting on the plane. It was like the most insane universe being like, get out now.
Yeah,
it was wild.
Right.
So,
and you know what? The universe will talk to all of us. We just don't listen. So start listening.
Exactly.
More. That's a nice little Christmas lesson right there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Just listen more. You know, I love there's a line, we'll go over Christmas movies like we always do. I'm acting like we're some big show that's been around for years.
We are a big show.
Our six people care. Yeah. No, I was going to say, there's a great moment in the greatest Scrooge ever made, which is the Alistair Sim 1951. And one of the ghosts says to Scrooge, you know, he's looking back at a party his boss threw during Christmas, and mm-hmm. Scrooge is like, loses himself in the moment. He's dancing, he's clapping, he's, you know, and the ghost said something like, you know, and yet what did it cost your boss in his mere mortal money to give you, you know what I mean? To provide like the memories that are a joy that's staying with you for all like mere mortal money that comes and goes. And when I think of like when those places go dark, I get a corporation is cold and icy, but you know, there's people on that show that make many millions of dollars. And think of like with their mortal money,
mm-hmm.
like what it would have meant to you guys for the rest of your lives, right? It's just something.
I know.
To say, hey, but you know, that's why like in life, it's like, I think I never want to see people give away money they don't have. I see a lot of that.
Totally.
I've been guilty of that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not responsible. But I will also say, I know people that are worth just a lot of money. And it's just, you know, where you could just go make a difference in someone's life. Like, they'll remember that moment, you know?
Yeah.
They'll remember, you know, I don't know. I always think of that too, when you do these microtransactions, you think that maybe if you help someone who's from a different orientation or a different race, mm-hmm. you know, I always think that, you know, maybe if they are either racist themselves or they're guarded against other people outside of their circles, they may think back to that moment and say, you know what, not everyone is like that, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of like just good we could do.
Yeah.
And we just don't. And that's why I love Christmas, because it's just that little reminder to go, it's Christmas.
Totally.
Okay, it's Christmas. You know, I'll go the extra mile. So, but yeah. Kelsey, yeah, there you go. You got the That's what got you into our arms.
It was truly, though.
Right? And Kev, there's actually science to what you're saying. We should do it on one of these episodes, but it's the science of empathy. If you have that moment, that connection where you cross a cultural barrier or sexual orientation, whatever, when you help someone, your brain is scientifically more rewired to overcome bigotry. So,
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we should actually, that'd be a cool episode for this podcast to talk about the science of empathy.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I it's so good to hear because my wife's very empathetic. She's always the one who goes, Kevin, no, you don't know where they came from. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know their story. Because I'll get like, I swear to God, I don't know if it's my culture of Italian Catholic guy, Boston. There's just a lot that we can do a lot of good, but then like we have another side that's just going to be super judgmental and super talk radio. Yeah. And I just, Maria gives me that nudge and I go, yeah, you know, I didn't think of that. You're right. I don't want to be like that. And I think empathy is such a important component. And I love that scientifically, I want to learn more about that, Jeff.
I'll bring it to the show.
But it's isn't it cool that Christmas is, again, that's why I love Christmas so much for everybody. That's why I encourage other faiths even to embrace the secular aspect of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and because it's like, I always say to people, and I have some friends who 10 years ago were very anti-Christmas from other faiths, and now they've embraced it.
I know one in particular.
Yeah, and because I was like, you know, what is wrong with a time of giving? Okay, I get it. Like the Christmas carols can be annoying, or maybe they bring back bad childhood memories of you being excluded, which is not cool, you know. But at the same time, if it is a time where people will give,
yeah,
or forgive, or give it, you know, like
think of others before themselves.
What's wrong with that? We need, you know, God, we need a little Christmas right this very minute, Jeff and
right
Kelsey.
This very minute,
you know, right?
Well, speaking of Christmas, right this very minute. Yeah. Kevin, you have a store decoration update for us.
I do, yes. Yeah. So it looks like Lowe's struck first.
Nice.
And there was literally a month ago, there's a Lowe's in Northridge, California. And I'm involved in this massive renovation, and it's way too big for me to be doing, but that's the story of my life.
But you're killing it.
Yeah. And I went in and I was like, oh my goodness. I was so excited. And now the Home Depots are following suit. And I know Elf Aaron had sent me something from Costco that Costco is starting to put stuff out, which is exciting. And I noticed Target, which is my favorite place to go see Christmas decorations, has I measured it. It's actually a 6-foot section of lights.
Oh.
It's all still Halloween. I'm telling you, though, I'm a little down on the Depot. Because you know what I'm seeing lately is Halloween stuff went up at a nice time, but we're like, I don't know how many days away from Halloween, like 2 weeks, right? And they're taking everything down and moving in Christmas. And
really?
I'll tell you, yes. And what I'm saying, I don't like that. I love the Christmas end, but the sword cuts both ways, because a week before Christmas last year, they took everything down. And that's just like, I'm like, wait, what? No.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Kev, I did read something the other day on Lowe's. Who knows? This was a tweet from someone random, but they were saying they were saying you should shop at Lowe's over Home Depot because Lowe's just donated $25 million to help minority owned businesses.
I'm a Lowe's guy. I think my father-in-law is a Depot man. I think the real workers are Home Depot and the pussy yuppies are Lowe's. But it's just cleaner and nicer. I don't know. I'm glad to hear that. Now I'm an even bigger fan of Lowe's.
Right.
And I'll tell you, last year we went, you know who was last to the party at full decorations? Target. I remember going. Like sometime last year, we went in November. I was all excited, and it took them to around right before Black Friday, at least the ones here. And I was a little disappointed. I want to see my stuff out early. I want music playing. It's a very important component to the overall celebration, people.
I agree
with that.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. Go for it.
No, Kels, talk about Nordstrom. I want to hear.
I was just going to say, when I had to work at Nordstrom during the multiple holidays, the Christmas music, Kev, starts at October, end of October. So do you ever need any spirit?
No, listen, Mariah announced November 1st.
Yep.
That's when she does. If you follow Mariah, you'll see her when the clock turns to November 1st. That's it. She starts playing Christmas music. It's on.
And Mariah's our girl.
I saw some people like starting to celebrate. Actually, now though, I did see some people online like just putting out little bits and pieces here and there.
Well, and that leads perfectly to our final topic, which is the question of whether or not Christmas can save us from 2020.
Yes.
And I believe yes too, Kels. And I'll go ahead and just start with my thoughts on this. I think one of the very important things that Christmas will do for all of us, I've heard a lot of people talking about how the lines between work and personal and family are all kind of blurry this year because people are working from home. You know, bosses feel entitled to email you at 9 p.m. and say, hey, I know you're working at home. Can you do this? And I'm hoping and praying that when Christmas comes, everyone is just going to be so burnt out on this year. Even if you're alone in your house and you don't have family, I'm thinking that your bosses, your coworkers, your colleagues are all just going to say, for lack of a better word, F this, take this week and just try to do you. Watch Christmas movies, bake, cook.
That's going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, get in here. Glass half empty, Ken.
No. The original statement of can Christmas save us? After this episode, yes, you guys are really inspiring me, and I think you can. However, do I think those like bosses with the microtransactions will be? No, I don't think so.
You don't?
No, because here's the thing, and again, empathy to them. Most of those businesses are failing. And struggling. And this is a time where you have to be grateful to have the work.
Yeah.
So as much as everyone wants to listen, Jeff, you heard me say a million times as AfterBuzz slowly like wound down. I remember just saying, guys, like, I know you all want to go and Netflix and chill, millennials, but you're going to Netflix and chill for the next 10 years if things keep going this way. So we have a nation that is just massive unemployment. So really be grateful for your work this year, honestly. And I know, yes, there's going to be bosses that are just jerks. I get it. We've all worked for them. But I also think that there are some with incredible amounts of pressure. I'm continually, when I'm counseling friends who are calling me, I'm continually reminding them, like, do you know how many people are unemployed?
Yeah.
And do you know the pressure that the companies are under and that there's no way they're making the money unless they're selling masks?
Right.
You know, or else it's Amazon, right? I mean, there's just a couple of things that are doing better now, but for the most part, everyone's really struggling. But I do think that, I know you guys give me a lot of hope that I think it is our last great hope for this year. And I feel like, yeah, I could end the year on a good note. And maybe New Year's Eve too will get people into like, okay, come on, now let's get together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's all get together. And I swear to God, I was researching studies on watching the news, literally what it does to your brain, how it's scientifically proven to influence your mood to the negative, but then also it's about the horrible things. Really encourage you all to just stay away from it. Be decent in your microtransactions. Listen, you'll know when it becomes to World War II proportions. You'll know. Trust me, okay? But anyone thinking that, you know, you're going to be lost or left behind or not as aware, not being able to do your part, bullshit. You don't need to be watching the news because I think there's, it's so slanted. And again, like it's better news for them. It's more compelling, unfortunately, if it's darker and more negative. And I think that...
if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, you know, so I think if you can avoid that and get into how do we do Christmas during this time? How do we do it? If we have to be distanced, great. How do we do it? By the way, like, Kim, there's a town I found, and I literally want to move there now, called New Canaan, Connecticut, that for over 100 years, you guys, on the 24th of they the whole town unites to sing Christmas carols.
In New Canaan, Kev?
New Canaan, yes, where you were.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Yes. I'm like, okay, Michael, Maria, I'm putting the house for sale. I'm gone.
We're going.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's called God's Acre, where they go. The residence carol on God's Acre.
No way.
Since 1916.
19, right? How about that, Dr. Phil? Cash me outside.
Cash me outside.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that? Can we get Will Vicky on this podcast? to talk about Christmas.
Vicky and Bad Baby probably celebrating Christmas, yeah, wherever they are, in their own way.
In their own way.
In their own way. Kelsey, I don't know if I'm going to let... I'm going to have to negotiate with your parents. I think they'll get you for Thanksgiving and I get you for Christmas. I'm just...
Okay. All right.
I'll negotiate. I'll handle the negotiation.
Perfect.
I love it.
All right, Jeff, are we going to take the sleigh?
I think we got to get the sleigh out of here. And Kev, I'll have to add our little bumper and post, but I will.
It's getting late, and I've got these letters to deliver. And you better be getting home, too. And remember, behave yourselves.
Yes, yeah, so we need our entrance and exit. And Jeff, is there any way, shape? Oh, we still have, I believe, the Christmas 24/7 on Instagram.
Yes.
So you can reach us that way, mm-hmm, right, Jeff?
At the Christmas 24/7.
And we will be, if you're on iTunes, that we're reawakened on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, maybe we'll throw the audio up on the YouTube page and then continue. And then maybe as the weeks go by, we'll figure out how to maybe even bring in cameras. Because I know, mm-hmm, there's like 40 or 50 people on YouTube.
Yeah.
We have 11 people in audio and then we have like 40 or 50.
No, our audio podcast is 90, 100. It's getting up there, so I know.
We're talking sponsors, big time.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we're talking Christmas cheer.
I'm honored that you had me on.
Oh, Kelsey, it's just the beginning.
Kelsey, welcome.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
And we'll have more friends, too.
Yes. I was just going to say I have the best story about empathy that I'm saving for our empathy episode. Just to give everyone a little teaser, it's really good.
Now, I can't wait for both of you to promote this show on Maria's show. She's going to love it.
Oh, yeah, she's going to love it.
I'm Better Together with Maria Menounos. Yeah, you guys need to promote this.
Kelsey, I'm thinking maybe every episode we do a segment promoting this show. So we just cut first segment and only talk about Christmas.
I think that's great.
And I think Maria will love it.
Anyway.
She will.
Yeah.
You guys, here we go. This is the beginning. It's a very Corona Christmas or a very COVID Christmas?
A very COVID Christmas, baby.
Very COVID Christmas
for this year. And all right, let's go, guys. Tell us how you're going to start celebrating and tell us what we are doing right and wrong and whatever else we can do to, I don't know, help you conjure the spirit.
And we will see you next week here.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
On a very COVID Christmas.
Peace.
Bye.
From Chairman Elves, Kevin Undergaro, and Maria Menounos, we would like to thank you for tuning in to help us in our mission to extend the length and spirit of the holiday season and to help prepare for the holidays in general. Feel free to email us questions, ideas, and comments at info@NorthPoleNetworks.com. This has been a joint presentation of AfterBuzz TV and the North Pole Networks. Until next time, do your best to make every day Christmas! Ho, 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 ho!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!